Well, we are taking a break from the book of Acts, and we are going to be in Psalm 23 today. Psalm 23. Last week we finished up Paul's second missionary journey in the book of Acts, and thought it was a good place to pause for a second. We had been walking through the book of Acts, and the book of Acts deals with a lot of following Jesus, a lot of sharing Jesus, but there's not a whole lot of focus on that intimate discipleship, worship relationship of loving Jesus. So we're going to pause for 3 weeks, and we're going to look at Psalm 23 for 3 weeks, okay? Today we're just going to be dealing with verses 1 and 2, but if you guys would stand with me, I would like to read the entire psalm. Fortunately, the pastor's not prepared, so I didn't have the whole psalm in my notes. Psalm 23, if you have the black Bible, it's page 458. This is a psalm of David, and David writing, crying out, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we just ask that You would open our minds and our hearts to receive Your word. Lord, that You would penetrate our hearts. Lord, that You would be our shepherds, be our shepherd in the midst of just all the pain, the confusion, the frustration, the hurt that each of us are dealing with. Lord, reveal to us how we can depend upon You to be our provider in all things. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Before we begin this study, I do want to give credit to where credit is due. A lot of my notes, a lot of my information will be coming from a guy named Philip Keller. If you have ever taught before, you realize that all teachers steal from someone else. And so a lot of this information is coming from this guy who, in addition to being a pastor for years, he was basically a shepherd for 30-some years. And so he knows sheep inside and out, and so I'm going to be relaying some of the information that I learned this week to you. We begin with David saying, well, first of all, let's begin with our central truth. The central truth is there is nothing that we lack in Jesus. As we look at today's message, as we look at these two verses, the real truth is that there's just nothing that compares in terms of satisfaction with Jesus. There's nothing that can give us meaning, protection, nurturing, like the person of Jesus. And even as Christians, we believe the lie. And we find ourselves chasing after other things to bring satisfaction. But the truth is, only in Jesus do we have complete satisfaction. There's nothing, absolute nothing that we lack in Him. And so David begins. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." That Lord is code. It's another name for Jesus. The Lord, Jesus, is my shepherd. It's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in your translation, and it refers to the covenantal name of Yahweh. God appeared to a specific group of people. He included them in community with Himself, and He revealed to them His name, Yahweh. And then later on, Jesus appears to all mankind, and He reveals Himself in the name of Jesus. And so as we read the New Testament, we read Paul's preaching to all these different nations. He continually talks about Jesus is Lord, meaning Jesus equals Yahweh. And so when we read the Old Testament, it is most appropriate for us to put that name Jesus in its place. We serve the Lord. We serve Jesus, made in the flesh so that we can behold tangible, a tangible person that we can follow. And so, Jesus is my shepherd, and it's emphatic in the original text. He, no one else, only, solely, the Lord. And he compares him to a shepherd. Jesus, the shepherd. The good shepherd. We've been going through Acts, and it's been Jesus the King. You know? But we also know him as Jesus the shepherd, which is completely different. Not just him sending us out, giving us marching orders. We're supposed to be obedient. We're supposed to bend the knee. We're in his army. But no, he cares for us as though we were just some itty-bitty, timid, stupid sheep. That's the picture. Has anyone ever been around a sheep before? They're stinky. They're not the brightest animals. They really aren't. They have no defenses. They need care. And as we go through the message today, one of the things I hope you see is how much we need the care of the shepherd. So, he is our shepherd. And conversely, we are therefore his sheep. John 10:14, Jesus speaking, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. There's this relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, this intimacy. And we must first understand that when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, that means I am his sheep. If the Lord is my shepherd, then that means I am his sheep. Truth is, guys, as sheep, we are owned to Jesus, by Jesus. Jesus owns us. The shepherd owns us. For us to first understand this intimate relationship that we enjoy with God, we need to first understand that we are owned. We belong to him because he has purchased us. First, we are owned because why? Because Jesus is creator. Because Jesus is creator. If you would, put your finger in the spine, and I want you to turn right to Colossians 1:15. All the way over to the New Testament. We're in the middle of the Bible. We're going to go more to the three-fourths of the way down the book. Colossians 1:15. We are owned by the shepherd because the shepherd is the creator of all mankind, Jesus. Colossians 1:15. We read by Paul, he, that's talking about Jesus, he, that's talking about the good shepherd, he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus became visible so that we could behold God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Talking about Jesus, the shepherd. For by him all things were what? Created. For by him all things were created, and in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things, if you didn't get it the first time, were created through him and for him. The shepherd is the creator. We are owned as mankind by the creator. We were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things currently hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. As the Creator, all things that we see and we don't see belong to Him. He owns them. Jonathan Edwards, the old Puritan New England fire and brimstone, supposedly preacher, preached his most famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of a what? Of an angry God. And that lit the second Great Awakening. And it spread throughout northern United States, down to the south and westward. And America was on revival. And how many of you have ever read that sermon? Has anyone in this room have actually read it? I actually taught it to my juniors. I got away with that. But the main metaphor is God holding us in the palm of His hand as if we were an insect. And that better put the fear of God in you. Because we are His, and He can do to us whatever He pleases. We are owned by the Creator. He can snuff our lives out at any minute, right? Agreed? Whether we're His in terms of covenantal love or we're just creation, He owns us. He is the shepherd and He owns His sheep. Number two, Jesus owns us because He is also Redeemer. He is not just Creator, but He is also the Redeemer. At the end of that passage in Colossians, it says, through Him to reconcile Himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. We are also His, all of us sitting in this room, who have given our lives over to Jesus. Those who have entered into covenant with God through Jesus, we are His because He redeemed us. Because He purchased us. How? By His blood. He bought us back. Alright? We said, we don't want to have anything to do with you. But in His love and mercy, He paid the price on Calvary, shedding His blood, and purchased us back so that we have fellowship with God once again. I love this imagery in Isaiah 53:6. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to His own way. And the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Just stupid, ignorant sheep. But yet in His love and mercy, He's purchased us and brought us back into the fold. Sin caused us to rebel, but His blood cleansed us from all shame and brought us back into the family. So, Jesus owns us as Creator, He owns us as Redeemer, and Jesus' ownership is founded in love. It's founded in love. We are owned by Him, but it's founded in love. Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody, right? Either way you slice it and dice it, we are slaves to something or someone. So the choice that each of us has is, who are we going to call master? If we push back and we don't like the idea that Jesus has control over our lives, then we're going to put our lives in control of something else. And what David is expressing here, it's so much better to put your life in the Creator and the Redeemer who deeply loves you. John 10:11, Jesus speaking, says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. He owns us because He's Creator. He owns us because He redeems us. And through it all, that ownership is founded and permeated by love for us. So much so that He was willing to give His entire life for us, the sheep. The predators were at bay, and He went out into the field and stood between them and us, and He sacrificed Himself in our stead. We have cost God much. We cost the Father His Son. We cost Jesus His life. And we cost the Spirit anguish every time we continue to sin. But He loves us because He gave His life as a ransom for us. And interestingly, this is not just a one-time thing. I don't know about you, but I think there's this tendency in my mind. We just tend to talk about Jesus and the cross, and that was His great sacrifice, right? But the truth is, He's continually working on our behalf. That wasn't the only instant in time and history where He sacrificed something. He is constantly interceding for each of us. He is standing between us and the Father, listening to us, listening to our cries, our bleedings as sheep. Because sheep can't care for themselves. Now, as humans, we think we can do it. But sheep, they can't do jack squat. They need someone to provide for them. Like in every single way. It's like a baby. You know? Diapers, nourishment, love, care. And then last, Jesus, as this great shepherd, is constantly interceding on our behalf to the Father. He is constantly guiding us through this world of peril. He is constantly at work caring for us, for all of our little boo-boos, all of our little fears. So that what happens at the end of verse 1, I shall not want. Forever and always, I shall never be in want. The Hebrew literally says, I shall lack nothing. I shall lack nothing. I shall not crave or desire anything else. There's never going to be a moment, if I am fully invested in the love of the shepherd, that I think the grass is greener on the other side. Because I'm just so satisfied with the love and the care of the shepherd. Completely satisfied. I shall not want, I shall lack nothing. Not like the prosperity movement teaches that you're going to get more money and a bigger house and a better car and a better kid that listens to you. But that He will provide for your every need and for the inner spiritual need, the restlessness of each of our hearts. Now here's the problem. If Jesus is our shepherd, if we've allowed Him to be our shepherd and recognize we are His sheep, if we've gone all in and died to ourselves and given ourselves over to the shepherd, we will never desire those greener pastures. Psalms 34:10 talks about this. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. If Jesus is our shepherd, there's lots of people who have nodded their head to Jesus, you know, said, yeah, He's a cool guy. Yeah, I can do that. I can follow that. There's lots of people who show up on Sundays every now and then. But going all the way in, nothing else satisfies. There's this old song from the 80s by, honestly, one of my favorite bands. You know where I'm going with this, Doug, right? U2, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. You guys remember that song? I still haven't found what I'm looking for. These guys who are Christians, supposedly, at the time or whatever, walking through the streets of Vegas looking for something else that satisfies still. And the song talks about Jesus and all this stuff, but they still haven't found what they were looking for. And for the life of me, my whole life, one of my favorite bands, I never understood that song. Because in Jesus, when you go all in, you found it. There's nothing more. If you're restless, if you're unsatisfied, you have not gone in all the way. You have not drunk from the deep well. You know, you drink. Last Sunday, I have great neighbors, and they were all in my front yard. I was sitting in a chair, and they're all doing this work for me. I felt like Tom Sawyer, who passes off the white brush to all his friends and says, "Hey, do this, it's fun." But we were pulling grass out of my next to my driveway because we're going to extend my driveway with cement. And I had like five of my neighbors, Chris included, just taking a pickaxe to my lawn, and I was just sitting there. And it was hot. It was hot. But this little kid, this next door neighbor, comes out, and he has in his hands, I think, one water and two Pepsis. And he's like, very kind little boy. He's like, do you want some Pepsi? You want some water? And I can tell you, I don't know if it was Chris, but it, you know, the guy who had the pickaxe, what did he want? Did he want the Pepsi or did he want the water? The water. I mean, as little kids, you know, we can drink Pepsi all day, but as we get older and we get mature and stuff, we realize nothing satisfies thirst like water, right? No one wanted that Pepsi. One of the other kids wanted it. But when we go all in, we realize he satisfies. So what does the shepherd do to ensure that I shall not want? It says, I shall lack nothing. That means he provides for us. So what is it that he provides for us? All right, first, he ensures that we will provide. He will provide for all of our external needs. Talking about two different elements. First, our external needs. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. It's one word in the Hebrew, and it literally reads, he causes me, he forces me to lie down. Just think about that picture. Jesus, God, forces us. He's the cause agent for us being able to lie down in these green pastures. It's His work that does this. It's not our work. The shepherd's life is consumed with removing external factors so that we can restfully lay down in the green pasture. So here's what I'm talking about. Sheep will not lie down ever. They will not lie down and rest. They're very restless animals. Sheep will not lie down in the green pastures and rest unless four things are removed: fear, conflict, disease, and hunger. And who removes these things? The shepherd. They're just restless. They cannot calm themselves down and lay down and enjoy life unless the shepherd works to remove these barriers, these obstacles. So number one, Jesus the Good Shepherd provides for our protection. How does the shepherd work on our behalf to care for our soul and to allow us the satisfaction and rest that He created in this world for us to enjoy? He is the one who provides for our protection. Sheep have little to no means of self-defense. Right? Can you picture it in your head? What do? They bleat, blah. If something is a threat, what can they do? The only thing they can do is run faster than the sheep behind them. That's their only defense. They're completely unprotected. Sheep are always prey, and biblically, to the wolves, right? All right? Their defense against the threat is to run. Now, the smallest noise can frighten a sheep. And it only takes one sheep to be frightened, and then the whole church gets panicky, doesn't it? The stupidest little noise can put fear into one sheep, which just consumes the rest of the flock, and they all start running. The flock doesn't even know why it's running. It's just because the person next to it's running. Fear. But what does the shepherd do? He provides protection. The presence of the shepherd casts away all fear. The moment that the shepherd walks into the pasture, there's calmness in the flock. As a child, did you ever get away from your parents? You got away from them publicly too far, little kid, and you realized you were, where's mom, dad? Did you ever have that moment? that indelible moment as a little kid. You got too far away from mom, dad, and you realize it, and you start looking, and you just wet yourself, basically, as a little kid. And you're looking in the crowd, you're small, everyone's tall, and you can't see through the heads. But you know, mom and dad have their eye on you. I used to do this to my kids to teach them lessons. The shepherd has his eye on his sheep all the time. And sometimes we get farther away from him, but it is his presence that brings peace against the threat of the outside attack. Just his presence creates peace within God's community. And have you ever been in a church where there's just lots of fear? So no one's looking at the shepherd. They're just looking at each other. Number two, Jesus, the good shepherd, provides for our peace internally. Continuing this theme a little bit. Not outward, external threats, but inward threats within the community. All animals have a hierarchy. You can be the top dog, right? Among chickens, it's referred to as the pecking order. Very good. Cattle, it's referred to as the horning order. And sheep is referred to as the butting order. That's all they can do is butt each other. They just ram each other with their butts. And it's usually this old ewe, a ewe's a female, but it's this old female that's been around the block for a long time, and she wants the greenest pasture, and she'll walk up with a stiff gait, she'll cock her head sideways, she'll stare with her dilated eyes, and you got about 1 second's warning to get out of her spot, or she'll butt you out. And in group dynamics, there's always one person, there's always a couple people who just are power mongers, even within the flock of God's sheep. And sheep will not lay down and rest if it has those types within its flock. So what stops that one sheep from being domineering? The shepherd's presence. Again, not external attacks on the church, but internal power mongering. Ezekiel 34:20 paints a picture of this. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. Okay? For many in the church, the flock, the community, the peace that the community needs, it's one or two. We're always butting each other. And interestingly enough, in the Hebrew, okay, the original language, this word sheep can also be translated goat. In a church, there are sheep, there are goats, and there are wolves. The sheep know the master's voice and they listen to it. The goats, they're not sheep. They look like sheep, but they're not. And then there's wolves who actually devour. But then there's goats who think they're Christians and they're just not. And they're not full of the Spirit, and they butt. They butt against the true flock. The church, the flock, is meant to be a community of love and peace and security, encouragement. But sometimes it ain't. Sometimes there's old Betsy. That's a cow name. What's a sheep name? Anyone have a sheep name? Should have came prepared for this. Huh? Dolly. There's old Dolly. She's just creating strife all the time. She wants it her way. And this isn't a female thing, but in the sheep world, I guess it is. Okay, but... all right. The presence of the shepherd puts a stop to this. It just does. That one person who's just butting and the shepherd walks out, they stop. And so here's the point. I want us to be a church where the shepherd is visible, where the shepherd's presence, our focus is on him, not each other, not everything else. It's about the shepherd. And realizing we are owned by him. What stops this? The shepherd's presence. Number three, how else are we to lie down on green pasture? Jesus, the good shepherd, provides for our healing. Okay, depending on the season, there's lots of insects, bugs, parasites, and the sheep are prone to all of this. And a sheep will not lay down on the green grass if it's sore, if it has an infection. It won't even lay down on the green grass if there's a bunch of flies buzzing around its head. All these distractions, irritations, eventually lead to infection. And what can the sheep do? Nothing. Right? The shepherd must come. The shepherd must bring healing to the sheep. Shepherd has to pick her up, take her away, treat its wounds, use some salves, antibiotics. But it is the role of the shepherd to provide for the physical health healing needs of the sheep. And this is what he does for us. Sometimes it's a parasite and it can't be seen, so it needs to be treated with medicine. But guys, sometimes these outward distractions, the flies, you know, that we have to deal with week in, week out, they don't kill us. They don't hurt us. But as they continue to land on us, they lay their larvae. And if there's open wounds, that larva breeds parasites within our internal organs, right? We can't see it. But those internal parasites, that bitterness, that idolatry, that envy, that greed, that sensualism, destroys us from the inside out if it's not treated. And it's only the shepherd that can treat those physical ailments. We have the certainty that we lack nothing, even when it comes to our basic needs for health. When it comes to the good shepherd. I'm going to go on, I'm going to come back to that a bit, because I think some of you have questions there, but I'm going to come back to it, I promise. Letter D, number four, Jesus, the good shepherd, provides for our nourishment. What will it take to make the sheep rest in the green pasture? It needs food. It needs its belly full. If its belly's not full, it becomes restless and it starts looking for other food. It goes off of the pasture looking for other food. It will bite through the wire and it will make its way to another pasture. Where does the food come from? Ultimately, it comes from the shepherd. In this context, we're talking about old school Palestine, dry climate. Phoenix, Arizona is a desert. I don't know if you knew that. Palestine is a desert. And the only way that these sheep find water to create vegetation is if God provides the rain, or if a man with his burly muscles and broken back creates a canal to create vegetation so these sheep can eat. It takes a man bending his back, digging through rock, soil, creating pathways for water. It creates a man furrowing the ground, watering the ground, seeding the ground, and producing food for the food. The shepherd does this. The shepherd provides for the physical needs of his sheep. We hold the promise that God provides for our physical needs. That's where that name Jehovah Jireh comes from. God the provider, the Lord provider. He will provide. Okay, now, he does all of this to force us, to cause us to lay down, because we won't do it on our own. There's so many distractions. There's so many things. We won't go to the green grass, we'll go off searching for other things because we're distracted, because we're irritable, because we're hungry. He forces us, he causes us to lay down because he does the external work around us. But listen, Jesus is not solely concerned with just our physical needs. He's also concerned with our inner spiritual needs. And so this is where we get to the last part of this verse here. We lack nothing internally because Jesus provides for our spiritual needs as well. It says, he leads me beside still waters. He leads me to still waters. Much like humans, a sheep is made up of about 70% water. It needs water to survive. You and I, we can go a longer period of time without food in our belly, but we can only go a couple days without water. We start to dehydrate and our body starts to break down. We need water. A sheep needs water. And if there's no clean source of water, the sheep will get infection and die. Sheep are stupid, right? They're thirsty, so they'll drink anything. Johnny and Jeffrey went on a walk with the parishes a couple weeks ago. We trusted the parishes with our kids, and it was probably a mistake. I'm just joking. Our kids are hard to handle. But they come back, and Johnny is covered in water. And I'm like, it wasn't that hot out there, was it? No, I was running through the sprinklers. Oh, okay. And then Jeffrey pipes in, yeah, he was drinking it. And it's reclaimed city water. You know? And left to sheep's own devices, they will drink whatever's in front of them and get sick. And the interesting thing about this water is that throughout the Old Testament, water is the symbol for life, spiritual life in particular. They live in a desert climate. You have to have water to live. And then that translates over to spiritual life. Okay, Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. God is the fountain of living waters. Not just physical water we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual life that God gives. And hewed out a cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Trying to create for themselves only what God only can provide. And then when you get to the New Testament and Jesus, because the Old Testament points to Jesus, everything points to Jesus. Jesus comes out in front of everyone at the festival of something or other, says what? On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. When he was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, right? It wasn't about physical water. It was about the spiritual life that God gives. Therefore, he leads me to still water speaks to the satisfaction that Jesus provides for our souls. This guy that I was reading his book, he said sheep can go 30 days if they just have green grass to munch on. They don't need water because the water is in the grass. But we cannot live without the life that comes from the Father. And it's only found in Jesus. God created each of us as spiritual beings. We have this connection to the Creator, and there's this longing within us towards the Creator. Augustine, the great theologian from like 300 AD, said this, O God, it's one of my favorite quotes, Thou hast made us for Thyself, and our souls are restless, searching, till they find rest in Thee. There's that spiritual vacuum, this need to have relationship with the Creator, this need to experience true spiritual life, and that is only found in the Good Shepherd. Jesus is the one who breathes life into the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Our basic physical needs, our deepest spiritual needs, can only be found in obedience to the loving shepherd. There's nothing that we lack in Jesus. I'm going to close out here and bring it to a close. As we look at these words, the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. And I believe the most important word in that sentence is the my. He's my shepherd. And conversely, I am his. sheep. What has brought, what can, what do you hope to bring eternal satisfaction to your soul? What have you tried as a substitute for the life that Jesus gives? Career? Spouse? Family? Alcohol? Sex? Drugs, rock and roll. A lot of people find just ultimate satisfaction in music. You know, I'm serious, rock and roll. Just checking out. I feel better after listening to this song. There's no other substitute for the life that's found in the Good Shepherd. You're going to always be panting for more. It's like drinking that Pepsi after you've put in an hour of sweat. Just doesn't satisfy. So, as I close out, how do you become one of his sheep then? How is it that one comes from being a goat into the fold, the flock of a sheep, and following the voice of the shepherd? Again, Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. So the choice is, are you willing to bend your knee and come into the fold and put yourself under the shepherding of him, or the mastery, enslavement of this? Recognizing that he loves you as the foundation for all of it. That this shepherd has laid down his life for you. None of those other false gods have done that for you. They just want you to continue laying down your life for them. He is the one who laid down his life for us. So, today, if you've been struggling with that question, how do I? It's as simple as bending the knee to the shepherd and saying, hey, I want in. I want that love. To love. To follow you. And to share with the world about the great shepherd. I'm going to end with this. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love us. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you continually provide for our basic and our spiritual needs. Lord, that in you we lack nothing. And I ask today, Lord, that you would reveal that truth in a powerful way to each of us, that as we go out of these doors, we have the full confidence that you are the great shepherd. And Lord, if it's not this side of eternity, there will be a day where we will lie in green pastures and you will be the fulfillment for all of our protection, all of our peace, all of our healing, and all of our nourishment. Lord, speak to our hearts today and allow us the freedom to find satisfaction in you alone. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just